number one, and the Lord has allowed me to continue preaching and has not taken this burden away for the book of John. And I'm having so much of a good time just studying and learning, and I hope to be a blessing and an encouragement to you guys as I preach this morning. We'll be in verse number 6, just a couple of verses. The Bible said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for all that you have done. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for giving your life's blood. Lord, I pray that you would help me as I stand to preach. Give me the right words to say. Strengthen, uplift, and encourage. God, help. Help your people. Lord, recall to my mind what I've studied, what I've prayed about. And God, I pray that you would help me to grow, and you'd help your people to grow and to know more about you. Lord, I pray that if there be someone here today that does not know you and the free pardon of sin, Lord, that they would come to the saving knowledge, because we point to the light this morning. Father, have your will and your way. Forgive me of my many sins, many shortcomings where I failed you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. In looking at the book of John, of course, the first five verses we've preached over the past few weeks, and the Lord gave great liberty in that, but verses 1 through 5 are a summit of Scripture. They talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we get to verse number 6, and the focus seems to change. And it changes to a man named John. John was John the Baptist. Y'all ever heard that before, that term, John the Baptist? Maybe you've never heard that. John had a specific purpose in life. And if I could sum this entire message up in one sentence, it would be, he came to point people to Jesus. His whole ministry was about Jesus. I'm getting really far ahead of myself, and you'll see this here in just a moment, but I got to thinking about John or John the Baptist, because here's something that we must understand. John the Baptist and John the Apostle are not the same guy. And so we're reading the book of John, and I can't assume that you know about the Bible what I know about the Bible, and I can't assume that you've studied in here like I have studied. So I need to clarify this. John the Baptist is a preacher, a forerunner, who was sent by God, as we just read a moment ago, and he's came to bear witness of Jesus. Now we know, because of other study in the Word of God, that John is in fact the cousin of Jesus, and that when their mothers met prior to their birth, John the Baptist leaped inside his mother Elizabeth's womb, and signifying the incredible gift that God was given to mankind in the form and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that was John the Baptist. But then John the Apostle is the guy who wrote the book, or authored the book, penned the book of St. John, also 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of the Revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Same guy did those books. And so we're talking about, or we have here, two different men named John. That needs to be clarified so that you can understand as I go further in the message this morning. Now, I hope that that didn't sound condescending, but I can't assume that everybody is educated in the Bible like I am. I want you to know, I don't want anybody to ever come into Gateway Baptist Church or sit under any amount of my preaching and walk away not having learned something from the Word of God. We live in much too precious times for me to play a game in the pulpit. I need to focus on the Word of God so that when you go out and you're faced with critics and skeptics and people who just flat out disagree and don't believe, you won't turn to what Brother Josh said. You won't turn to my comments. You won't turn to my commentary. You will turn to the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen? And so preaching the Word of God is very serious. I know I make funny jokes sometimes. At least I think they're funny. Amen? And I know that sometimes I say things that are comical, but I don't do it to detract from the Word of God. I do it to help you remember things that have been said and things that should be promoted from the Word of God. So let me go further. All that was free just to tell you that there were two guys named John, not just one. Because when you read the text, it seems to go back and forth between the two, especially in chapter number 1 after verse number 6. So right now, in verse number 6, we're talking about John the Baptist, or John Baptist. It's what he might have been known by. Now, the reason he was known as John the Baptist is because he was doing exactly that. He was dunking folks. Amen? Hey, y'all okay? That's what he was doing. He was baptizing people, and he was baptizing before Christ was baptizing. Matter of fact, he has the distinct privilege to be the one who baptized the Lord Jesus Christ. Though John chapter number 4 and verse number 2 tells us, though Jesus baptized not himself. Amen? Yeah. Salvation's not in baptism. It's in believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so John chapter 1 verse number 6, there was a man sent from God. First off, I want to look this morning at the messenger. And I guess if there was a title for this, it would be The Witness and the Light. But we're going to look first off at the messenger, John the Baptist. The Bible says that the man was sent from God, and his name was John. Now, in this verse, we see this witness, who, of course, was John the Baptist. He was the messenger and the man sent from God. Now, what makes John the Baptist so incredibly special in Scripture, not only did Jesus take note of him, we'll talk about that here in just a moment, but it is believed that John the Baptist was both a priest and a Nazarite. And the Bible goes on to tell us that Jesus said he was a prophet as well. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. But how many of you remember from studying the Bible, and I hope you do, maybe you remember this story from Sunday school out of the book of Judges about a man named Samson. Samson had taken a vow called the vow of a Nazarite. Now, there were certain rules that applied to that. We know of three Nazarites in the Bible. Now, think about that, 1,500 years of Jewish history, and we only know about three men that were considered Nazarites. We have Samson, we have Samuel, and we have John the Baptist. John the Baptist was believed to be a Nazarite. Now, here's why. Because he was noted to have long hair and a long beard. He no razor came upon him. That was part of the vow of the Nazarite. How about I stick to my notes? Amen. Nazarites had to keep from touching a dead body, from any contact with wine or the fruit of the vine, and he also had to have or allow his hair to grow long. So he was forbidden. A Nazarite was forbidden to touch a dead body, even if it was of his nearest and dearest kin. And by this, he proclaimed to the world that his affections were submitted to God. And so he was also to abstain from wine. And this proclaimed to the world that his appetites were surrendered to God, and he kept his body in subjection. And then allowing his hair to grow long, he proclaimed to the world that even in his appearance, he was subject to the commitment that he had made to God. Amen. Now, not every person was a Nazarite, but if you were a Nazarite, you were extremely committed to God. And there are only three lifelong Nazarites mentioned in the Bible. I've already said Samuel, Samson, and John the Baptist. This was such a high standard of living, such a great goal to obtain to, that these three are the only ones that are mentioned. Now, we know that Samson failed miserably. Now, before you jump on your high horse and make accusations, before Samuel, you and I, or before against Samson, you and I, we can't even keep the Ten Commandments. We like to think that we can in showing our commitment to God. Y'all don't make me take you down the grocery store aisle. Some of you have been here a while, you know what I'm talking about. We got to do it. There's too many people looking at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. We go over to the grocery store. You walk down the grocery store, you walk in the fruit section, and you get them grapes that are laying there. And you see those nice, wonderful red grapes, and man, they sure look delicious. And so you just grab one up and toss it in your mouth. One, if you're a germaphobe like me, you don't know who touched that thing. And you just ingested that into your body. Number two, them grapes, they're sold by weight. And you don't put yourself on that scale when you go to checkout, do you? Because nobody wants to pay for that many pounds of grapes. Y'all okay? And so that little bitty grape, if we're looking at the letter of the law, if we're looking at the law says, thou shalt not steal. Well, I'm going to pay for the rest of them. That doesn't matter. You didn't pay for the one. When we look at the law, we see how specific the law is. Now, thank God, the law is the schoolmaster that brings us to Christ, but it is not what keeps us saved. We're saved by grace through faith in Him. Thank God for that. Grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Lord Jesus Christ, and hallelujah for that. But friend of mine, to keep the law and to keep the commitment of a Nazirite is an incredible feat. It's not something that just anybody could do. And that's why we only know of three in the entire Word of God. Now, a prophet represents God to man, whereas a priest represents man to God. Luke chapter number 7, verse number 26, Jesus asked a question. He said, but what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. John the Baptist was both a prophet and a priest. And as John the Apostle wrote about John the Baptist, his mind went to a man who epitomized both the light of the Lord of the Lord Jesus Christ and the life, both knowing and showing. Matthew 11:11 says, verily I say unto you, among them that were born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. That's what Jesus said. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, John the Baptist, this messenger of God, he was sent from God. There are a lot of people who would like to say that they're sent from God in our day and time. Most of your cult leaders, most of your ism leaders, when they want to do something, they proclaim themselves not only to be sent from Christ, but some of them even go as far as to say that they are Christ. They're false Christs is what they are, and the Bible warned us about them. He was specified by God. Did you know that when God works, He works in specifics? God ministers in specifics. God works specifically through certain people, to certain people, and through His Word. And I will say this, God is very specific about His Word. Nothing outside of it is used by God. I got under conviction a few years ago about this. I was bad to say, well, the Lord spoke to me. Just then. Now, let me say this. If the Lord speaks to you and He speaks something contrary to this Word, that ain't Jesus. That ain't the Lord. That's not Him speaking. If it disagrees with this Word, if it goes against this Word, if it's something that is not in His Word, here's the way that the Lord speaks. The Lord speaks through His Word. When we grow and study and know the Word of God, then the Lord uses His Word to minister to our hearts. It'd be something like this. Lord, I'm having a really difficult time. I'm very stressed out. Father, will You just give me something? Lord, would You just speak to me? Sure. Peace I leave unto thee. Peace I give unto thee, not as the world giveth unto thee, but peace that comes from Him. It's not going to be, oh, well, it's okay. You just have a rough day today. We go outside the Word of God, we're in a dangerous place. John the Baptist agreed and was specific with the Word of God. Amen. His service was a witness for Jesus. His message was salvation through Jesus. John the Baptist could have very easily stood up and said, "Salvation comes through me." But he didn't. He could have very easily said, "I'm the one that will bring you to heaven," but he did not do that. He pointed people to the light. Because this man was sent from God whose name was John, and the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Now the light is capitalized, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. The Apostle John records that John the Baptist came straight from the presence of God, and that is where his power and his authority came from. But you know what else made John the Baptist able to preach the way he did? You know what enabled John the Baptist to walk into Herod's courtroom and stare him in the eyes and say, "It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife"? Somebody say amen right there on that one. It ain't lawful for you to have her. And as he did that, it cost him his head. But you know what gave him the boldness? He had been with the Lord. And he had always exalted Christ. And so John the Baptist was the messenger that was sent. And we know him, you Bible readers, you Bible studiers, know him as the forerunner of Jesus Christ. So that brings me to another thing, his motive. All this from just a couple of verses. I love the Bible. His motive. John the Baptist's motives were not wicked. They were not selfish. They didn't gain him anything. I've already said it cost him his head. As a matter of fact, John the Baptist would end up losing his life because he was a preacher of righteousness. Because he preached truth. Because he preached what God wanted him to preach and not what anybody else wanted to preach. So the Bible says the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. Now a witness is called, or not like a lawyer. A lawyer may be called to defend you, and they will use the law to build you a defense. But a witness is called to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that witness must be as honest as they possibly can. And they must tell everything. See, a lawyer may decide to leave certain things out that are a little bit condemning on your part. A lawyer may cover up some things, and thank God we have a great lawyer who has covered more than we could ever imagine. That's the light. But this man has come to bear witness of the light. Now, I might be getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I want to jump down to verse number 15. Now, this may save us a few times. Those of you that are sticking around to be here for all preaching, it might save us some time in a few weeks. I don't know. We'll see. But verse number 15 says, "John bear witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? Now what's going on here is John the Baptist is about to go under interrogation simply because he's preaching what God told him to preach. Verse number 20 says, And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. John the Baptist was a prophet, but he was not the Savior. Verse 21 says, And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? They were in their interrogation of John the Baptist, they were appealing to his pride, or trying to appeal to his pride. Then said they unto them, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? Verse 23, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. See, when they interrogated Jesus, or when they interrogated John, they revealed who they were. It first doesn't say, it says that they were sent from priests and Levites that were sent from Jerusalem, but we don't really know who they are. Now, the Pharisees, that's a bad group. That's a group that thought that because they lived the law, that they were righteous and more righteous than anybody else that did not live the law, or that didn't do to the letter of the law. They tried their best to be like a Nazirite, but John the Baptist knew that they were not the truth. So a bunch of liars came trying to get the truth, and he told them the truth. Verse 25 says, And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And I got to go ahead and read this one, because verse number 29, be remiss. He says, The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Yes, John the Baptist was great. Yes, John the Baptist was as good a man as could be in those days and time. But John the Baptist was not sinless, and he was not perfect. He was a witness, bearing witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would take away the sin of the world. This prophet, his motive was to glorify God. Acts 4:20, this spirit lived on, and the book of Acts says, For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. John Baptist's motivation was to witness for his Lord and to convince those who heard him believe. John the Baptist was doing his best to win souls, to tell people about Jesus. He didn't come to exalt himself. Here is my problem. Can I just be transparent with you here? Here is my problem. I want to exalt me. I want to talk about me. I want to brag on me. I have to be careful that in my message I don't talk about all the good things that I do. I got to sneaking suspicion, I'm not alone in this. I like to, Well, I studied that out once. Give me a break. If it ain't exalting Christ, let's get rid of it. It's a problem we all face. Brother Brad hit on it this morning. It's our pride. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And our pride will put us in a place that we never thought that we would be. And John the Baptist devoided himself of pride and used the motivation to witness for his Lord and to tell people the truth of proclaiming Jesus as Savior. That's what propelled him to continue on in his ministry. That was his motive. One last thing I want to look at. I want to look at John's method. John, the Bible says he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now, a good illustration from nature would be the relation between the moon and the sun. Psalm 19 tells us that they declare the glory of God, amen, and that they utter a speech that's heard all over the world. I believe that we should go into all the world and preach the gospel. But before the gospel gets there, and we should endeavor to carry it, but before the gospel gets there, there is a witness already in the rising of the sun and the setting of the same. The Lord God, who created the heavens and the earth, did not leave himself unglorified by all of creation, no matter where you go in the world. That sun rises, and Psalm 19 tells us hey, there's a witness. Now it's up to you and I to go down there, because they might erect a statue or a something to the unknown God like they did in the book of Acts. Paul said, that unknown God that you think that you know, that's who I'm coming to declare to you. He's the God of all creation. And he winked at your ignorance in times past, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Amen. See, while there may be a witness, they have not heard the message of repentance. And it's up to you and I to carry repentance cry to the far reaches of the world and tell them there's a Savior who loves you. It's Him that causes the sun to rise and causes the moon to come out at night and the stars to twinkle in the sky. It's Him that causes the plants to grow and enables your eyes to see the beauty of the world. It's Him that does all of these things. And if you will repent of your sin and turn from your wicked ways, that same One who is the Creator of the universe will be the Savior of your soul. John's method was similar to the moon in relation to the sun. The sun rises and it sheds the light all over the earth. The moon, as far as we know, is a dead space. It is just a... I like what... I'm going to use what John Phillips said in a book that I was reading earlier. He said it's just a massive chunk of lifeless rock. Doesn't look that way, though. There's no glimmer of light on its own. The moon's purpose is to pick up the light of the sun. And when that light from the sun hits the moon, then the moon reflects that light. And some nights it's so lit outside that it's quite literally almost like walking in daylight. It's incredible to see how much of the light of the sun reflects off of the moon and shines on to the world. John the Baptist, as far as what he was just a lifeless chunk of rock. But he reflected the light. He showed the light. And everything he done exalted Christ. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John's method was to humbly reflect Christ, the light, in every aspect of his life. Now, you want to talk about getting under conviction? Here's where I got under conviction in studying for this. Not only the other places I mentioned, but right there. Every aspect of John the Baptist's life was to exalt Christ. And so in my mind, I start going through all the things and all the areas where, quite frankly, I don't exalt Christ. All of the different things that I do that are less than exalting or less than glorifying. Sure, we're up here on Sunday morning and you guys, you see, if it were, as it were, the performance. But you don't walk with me through day-to-day life. Okay, y'all ever had a man in the pulpit that's a sinner before? If you haven't, you got one now. I know me. I know the thoughts that go through my mind. I know what I am. I understand me better than anybody in this room. And I see areas of my life where the light is not reflected. John the Baptist reflected the light, Brother Brad. In everything that he did, he glorified God. He reflected the light of the Lord and he brought glory to God rather than to himself. I want to read to you from John chapter number 3 and verse number 22. And we can really see the attitude of John the Baptist in his method while he was preaching. I want you to look with me. John 3 and verse number 22. Now I know I skipped over the famous verse. I promise you it'll be there. You can go back and read it. But John, in John chapter number 3, John gives a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, after these things came to Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore is fulfilled. Let's do it. Time out. John's joy was fulfilled by exalting Jesus. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I'm not just talking about my personal children, I'm talking about the children. Here is John's joy being filled by simply exalting Christ. Preacher, how does that apply to my heart and to my life? You might be exalting everything but Christ, and you can't find joy. If you will exalt Christ as he did for John the Baptist, your joy will be full. Time in. Verse number 30 says, John said this about Jesus. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. John the Baptist's method was to exalt Christ in everything that he done. Now take the life of John the Baptist and compare it to ourselves. Are we a messenger? We telling people about Jesus? Do we have a motive, or is our motive self-proclamation? Maybe people that are not pastors don't really face this. I don't know, but I tell you, I can't hardly turn my head, can't hardly get on social media without somebody talking about what great somebody else is, or God help us, even some men promoting themselves. It happens everywhere. One man said to me one time, well, if I don't promote me, nobody else will. Well, then let Jesus promote you. Or how about live your life in obscurity, amen, like every other saint of God did until it was in the Word of God. What kind of method do we have? Are we pointing people to Christ? Father, in Jesus' holy name, you know, Lord, what we stand in need of. You know, Lord, what I stand in need of. You know me, Lord, inside and out. So, Father, I pray that you would help. I pray that you would forgive me of my failures. Lord, I pray if there's anyone in here that's like me, Lord, and their lives don't line up with the Word of God, or that they too will come get help from you. Thank you, Lord, for sending this man to bear witness of the light. Give us your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with us while we sing this?